David Common, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to be in Knock, giving a talk. Just thought I'd say.
Are you giving a talk?
Well, I just thought if you're going,
knocking.
Knock, knock, knocking. I've never given a talk up in Knock direction in Mayo.
Have you ever been in Knock?
I've only ever passed through. I've never actually stopped.
I stopped there about 2 years ago. I was dying to see it. Because, you know, you hear so much about Knock growing up. Yeah. I've never been in. Bought a little fridge magnet there and got an ice cream. And the woman behind the counter refused to accept my money for the ice cream. I said, well, that's a miracle. True story. No, that's a true story. I said that to her. She must.
If I'd known that was coming, I wouldn't have brought up Knock. That was hardly worth it.
No, it's not. That wasn't meant to be a joke with a punchline. That was a true story.
All right.
I said that to her. I thought I was hilarious. Now, what day are you going to Knock?
Thursday week, the 28th.
Excellent. How was the weekend?
It was good. Very good, yeah. Our friend's 50th birthday party on Saturday night.
God, they're all moving on there nicely, aren't they?
They are.
Did you go out?
Oh, we did, yeah. Very good. Great night. Great
party.
Night. Yeah. Well, yeah, I wasn't actually feeling all that well. I don't know, it felt like I had a cold or something, so my partying finished earlier than I might have otherwise planned. But it was
good. And when you left, they might as well all have gone home.
No, the party continued. I rocked on live salsa band all the way through to, I would say, the wee early hours, maybe 6-7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that one of those, okay. Mm. Can you dance?
No, brutally. No, well, no. And I've tried. I mean, I wouldn't mind. I've tried. I've been to salsa lessons with my wife. Yeah, and
with
I have to say, yeah, and it's fantastic. It is a great thing for a couple to do as long as you can both dance. But I am just crap. I've got two left feet. Absolutely. And no real rhythm when it comes to dancing. Yeah. And it's shocking. And there's loads of women there, more women than men generally. And so when the lessons finish, which is a kind of a safe part because I'm dancing with my wife typically and other people, but then it's like kind of freestyle salsa and it's like,
back to Irish College.
Time to go now.
Let's take some questions to our... from our listeners who have plenty of things to talk about. Okay, my daughter is 3.5. This is Lisa. My daughter's 3.5 and over the last year has developed a fear of being alone to the extent we have to stay with her until she falls asleep. If she wakes in the night, she'll come into the bed. She's afraid to even go to the toilet alone. And a lot of the time will follow me around the house if no one else is at home. She's not a timid child and well able to speak for herself and stand up for herself, but she seems to have a genuine fear of being alone, especially in her own room. Any tips?
Yeah, well... See, 3.5, I mean, it's a funny old age because children have moved on in terms of moving into that sense of becoming almost not quite independent, but realizing that they're separate human beings to their mum or dad. And, you know, various other things happen. I mean, most children are probably going to preschool at that stage of some description. And so there's a lot of transitions going on for 3.5-year-olds. And it may just be that for whatever reason, she had a bit of a fright or suddenly noticed that her mum wasn't there at some point when she was due to be there, and that might have just translated then into this more, I suppose, generalized anxiety or separation anxiety or fear of being on her own away from her mum. But I mean, generally with that age, the best thing to do is just allow them to follow you around and give them the time, acknowledge that, you know, they're doing okay and that it's fine to spend the time with them rather than trying to force them, trying to shock them out of the fear, because of course it just becomes almost punitive for small children if you do put them into the room and say, no, you may not come out, or, you know, and you get cross with them or angry with them, because really they just want the reassurance, and where better are they going to get the reassurance and the feeling of safety and comfort other than from a parent? I mean, that's what our job is. My guess is that that's going to change as she gets a little bit older, as long as you give her opportunities to be with other people as well. So if the dad is there as well, make sure that the dad gets to spend time with the daughter on her own. Make sure that aunties or grannies or other people who you really trust will be able to meet her emotional needs, that you leave her with those as well, so that she does realise that she can cope without you, and that other people can reassure her and soothe her just as well. And then she will learn to soothe and reassure herself.
All right, and that'll get her through it.
Yeah.
One hopes. Please ask David how we should tell our 3-year-old child that her favourite aunt died. It was by suicide. We don't know how to explain this to her, as she's very deep and sensitive and will keep asking questions until she fully understands something. So we're afraid she will worry about everyone else dying. We already had told her about some older people dying, and this made her worry about her grandparents. Thanks for your help. So
yeah,
that's a tough one, to say the least.
It is, and she's only 3, did you say?
3-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, it may not necessarily be the case that you need to explain how this aunt died at age three. I mean, there will certainly come a time, and, you know, normally I'm a big fan of trying to be as honest as possible with children all the way through, but, you know, if your experience with your daughter at this stage is that, you know, by explaining something, then many other questions, and she transfers that same sense of, oh, well, if my auntie could kill herself, then surely you could kill yourself, and so surely could my dad kill himself, and so on, then it may not necessarily be the wisest thing to do to tell her at this age. I suppose it's also then the case that you don't want to keep it a secret. I mean, if it's something that's going to be known within the family, and if it's going to be talked about, then there's a good chance that it'll come up at other family gatherings. And then it's just about explaining it to her when she comes to know it, rather than feeling like you have to tell her just because of her age. I mean, when she's a little bit older, and if you feel that other people are going to start telling her and you're concerned, well, then absolutely make sure you're the first to tell her. But then you tell her. And the difficulty with suicide, of course, is that it's very hard. None of us can explain why somebody kills themselves, because there are many obvious reasons why people might kill themselves, but we never know for sure with any given person.
There are more questions than answers, and that's for adults,
absolutely.
Let alone children. Yeah. So it must be one of the triggers. But I would be inclined to chime with you in the sense of, she's three. You don't need to get into details about suicide at 3 years old. You shouldn't, should you?
Well, it's not about should or shouldn't. It's just about it. It just makes it, you know, like it's a lot to tell a 3 year old. I'm not sure a 3 year old will get it. I mean, it's hard enough for a 3 year old to get the idea of death and the permanency of death and so on. So I'm not sure that I would necessarily, if it was my daughter, I'm not sure I'd tell my daughter at age three. I will certainly at some point tell her,
in due course. Here's an email, tubs@rte.ie. I have a 7-year-old daughter, beautiful, clever, funny, extremely sensitive. She's doing very well in school, lots of friends, and is mannerly, so that's all good. 12 weeks ago, I had a baby boy to add to our family, and myself and my partner are so happy, and we are very happy as a family. So this is all going far so good. But one thing that I think could break us, my daughter especially, is that her dad is not her dad biologically. I met my partner, the man she knows as dad, when she was nearly two, and he's been the most wonderful father ever since. The donor, her biological father, has never been in her life. I never wanted to be, but he does live close by. Now, I know we need to tell my daughter this, but how do we tell her without breaking her heart? I don't want to damage her forever by doing it wrong. I also feel that she needs to be told soon. Mm-hmm. She's seven.
Now, that might be more relevant, I guess, because obviously with the new baby coming into the scene, it might be just more topical about parenthood and who is the parents and so on. And it may be that maybe this mum is worried that somebody else might mention to her daughter that actually her dad isn't her biological father. I'm a bit of a fan of introducing the concept of it by talking about dads and what dads do, and talk about the roles that dads play in children's lives, so that she's very clear about who her dad is in terms of an active man in her life being a parent to her, and being really explicit about that, and then talk about fathers, and that sometimes fathers are not dads. And so fathers can take the role of sperm donation in whatever form that took, but that actually they don't take that active, you know, dad role. And so that might be a way for her to feel really secure in her relationship with her dad, who's been there since she was two, and who she is, you know, the only man that she remembers as being her dad, and yet still acknowledging that there is another man there who fathered her, but who, for whatever reason, and obviously if you can at all try and explain why that father couldn't be part of her life, or chose not to be part of her life, or why the mum chose for this father not to be part of her life, and instead chose this other man, her dad, to be part of her life, and that might be the way to explain it. The other thing, I suppose, is never see this as an event. It's not, you don't just tell your daughter something like that once and then think that's it sorted.
Good, yeah.
It's much more likely to be a process where she will come back with her own questions, and hopefully she'll come back with questions, and it's up to the mum and the dad in this case to be ready to answer them as best they can.
We have a 17-year-old who is doing his leaving cert this year, says a text. He refuses to study. He does very little homework. He drinks alcohol, he smokes weed, and he gambles. He does not come from this type of background. His father has a very good job, and I'm a stay-at-home mum. He goes out every day with friends and refuses to come home when told, and then turns his phone off. We're very worried about him, and we and other family members have tried speaking to him, but nothing seems to work. He thinks everything will be fine, and he doesn't expect to do very well in the Leaving Cert, but thinks he'll get enough points to get into some course, even if it's not the one he wants. We have two younger children who look up to him, and unfortunately don't see what he is doing wrong. We don't know what to do to stop him ruining his life. Signed, two very distressed parents.
I'm sure they're absolutely distraught.
17-year-old girl.
You know, particularly when, you know, at that stage, he's gone so past their sense of value and you know, their kind of belief about themselves and work and all that kind of stuff. And really, they're probably absolutely tearing their hair out. I mean, the bit that gets to me, you know, they said that he's drinking and smoking.
Gambling.
And that, to me, I have to say, is one of the great dangers for young people, because it's really easy to just drift into that kind of, not quite nihilistic world, but certainly a really switched off world where it's just like, let time pass, yeah, and you know, everything will be okay, and should we just smoke a little bit more and we'll cope with that, and I think that's the big danger, and that's the pressure point I think for the mum and dad. Try and, you know, hassle him about his drug use, because you really need to try and change that aspect of his behaviour, and I think then maybe his attitude could come back online. And so I would hassle him a lot. I'd make it really uncomfortable for him. I'd be suggesting to him, you know, you certainly want to make it very explicit to the younger two, you know, that this is outrageous, this is not the kind of behaviour, and that this is going to lead to him being expected to leave the family home. Like, why are you going to support a young man who is, you know, drinking and smoking his life away and gambling his life away at that age, 17. I mean, it's really,
can,
really
can
young.
Parents have, can they take a bit more control of the situation, I wonder, in terms of his access to drink, gambling, smoking, weed? Like, he seems to be having a lot of freedom, yeah, and a lot going on. I mean,
and a lot of money to support that. That'd be
so,
the thing for
so
me.
So what's that all about?
Exactly. And I wonder where the money is coming from. And yet, I suppose perhaps the parents are worried that if they cut off the supply of money, that he'll turn to selling,
sure,
the weed or the dope or whatever to raise money, and then gambling as his way of earning money. And
he
that
seems
is,
to be a bit slightly in control of the situation.
Yeah, and is entirely in control of the situation. Now, that didn't happen today nor yesterday, is my guess, within the family. But either way, you know, for the parents now, like, he needs to be responsible at age 17. He needs to take that responsibility. And perhaps what it is for the parents now to begin to push that responsibility on him, and stop supporting him. You know, why would you let somebody who goes totally against all of your values live in your house, and take advantage of your meals, your food, you know, your clothes,
your
that you're washing?
Generosity of spirit.
Yeah, your kindness. And so in some ways, you know, I think this is definitely one where you've got to be cruel to be kind, because something needs to shift in terms of his behaviour. Like, it's his behaviour that he needs to change with regard to, you know, drinking and smoking, because that's what's changing his attitude to life. That's the mind-altering stuff,
yeah,
that's going on.
Okay, we've plenty more coming in. We'll take some more after this.
Podcast this show now
on the RT Radio Player
or at 2fm.ie.
Tubridy on 2FM.
Yeah, we're live in studio with David Coleman. Tara's on the line. Hiya, Tara. At least you should.
Hello.
Hiya, how's it going?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good. You've got a question for David.
I do. Let's see.
Take your time.
I'm just ringing about my little boy. He's 7.
Yeah.
And he just, lately now, he just seems not to want to spend any time with us.
Okay.
A good friend who likes to spend time with them, who would prefer nearly to be with the family than be with us here. And when he comes in, then we find he makes a lot of demands.
How many kids have you got, Tara?
Two.
Two kids. And is your 7-year-old near you at the moment?
No, he's in school.
And the other one is how old?
She is 3.
And is she with you now?
Yes.
Okay, Floyd, are you trying to get away from her as you're speaking to me?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of have a feeling you're doing that. You're kind of trying to get away. No, it's all right. I was just trying to pick out why you kind of went all kind of low key, and I thought maybe you don't want some other little ears to listen
to.
No,
I just, yes, exactly. Well, she's
a smart
kid.
She's
quite vocal. She is very smart.
Okay,
yes.
And she'd be telling everyone about this. You might as well put it on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got it. Now, let's talk about the little lad. He has friends, another family nearby, is it?
Yes, another family.
He kind of prefers hanging out with them than you.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Honestly, it seems like that. And then when he does come in, he'd be quite, make a lot of demands, you know, oh, you don't like me, and oh, mom's, and he would also then, when bring them to bed, be saying about things that are happening in school. He kind of talked to me then.
Right.
Someone in school's been mean to me. You know, I don't know really why, because I would be quite active in doing things with them regards baking and, you know, crafts and Lego. I try to look, staying in with build them Lego. No, I want to go out, Or if he, you know, I got him an activity book there the other day. No, I'm going to go and do it with my friend. And he'd go off out, you know. I said, I'll do it with you. No. Now, I know, I thought maybe when teenage years came that would happen. I didn't think it would be kind of a seven.
Does he talk about the mum and dad in the other house all the time? Or is it just a little friend and playing?
Sometimes the mum and dad as well, a little bit.
And do they talk about the food that you might get there compared to the food in your place?
No.
Okay, that's grand. David, you're the expert. I have some thoughts, but I think your thoughts are more important than mine, so let's hear you.
Tara, hi, how are you?
I'm good, David, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I just wonder as well, do you think things changed when his little sister came around?
No, I don't think so. He's time for her. I suppose when it's raining and that, and he can't be out or he's not in someone else's home, he would play with her.
Right.
And she's three, like, so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I mean, you know, in some ways, there's, of course, nothing abnormal about children wanting to go off and play with their friends and it happening that happens in other people's houses, because certainly, you know, I think most of us will have had an experience growing up where it seems like there's always one person's house where we always seem to congregate. And there's no necessarily good reason for it, because if you go and compare all the different houses, it might be something very simple, like a bit like Ryan was suggesting there, you know, maybe even it's just the smell of the food always smells good in that house, or something's very comfortable about that house. And so that's where all the children seem to congregate. Now, one of the things you could try and do, of course, is make your house that house, and so to try to encourage him to bring his friends to your house rather than him running
off. That would happen. Like, they would sometimes, but I just think sometimes you prefer, you know, someone calls and they go to there, you prefer to go to that house. Yeah. But I do certainly have the doors open for the kids to come in here.
Could I suggest that your child has a very, very pronounced case of what might be called childhood? And that he just wants to go and play in someone else's house because he doesn't want to play with his mammy. Like, he's seven. I think he's just getting out of your clutches a tiny bit for the first time when your nerves are a bit gone. But actually, he just wants to go and play up the road.
Yeah.
Now, you think it's more serious than that?
No, I don't think it's more serious than that necessarily. But I do certainly think that, you know, I think he just enjoys the time when he goes away. And like all children, and you're right, certainly in teenage years, we absolutely expect our children to wander off and not want to spend time with us. But, you know, I'm not so sure that he's making a conscious decision not to spend time with you. I think he's making a very conscious decision to spend time with other people, which is fine. And so, you know, I think we can worry sometimes that, they're pulling back from me and take it as a bit of a personal thing, whereas it sounds like he just really is engaged. He just loves whatever it is he gets to do in other people's houses and hang out there you know, as long as you say you have the door open and he does bring his friends to your house sometimes. And,
oh yes.
You know, and obviously he has a good relationship with you, because, you know, come the crunch time, say at night time or whatever, you will hear about what's going on in his life, and if there are issues or problems, you'll hear about them. And that's really all we ever want with our children, is that sense of openness, that it works both ways, that we can tell them important things when we need to, but also that they know that we're available to hear them as well. And it certainly sounds like he knows that you're available, and so when he wants you, you know, he'll come looking for you, and when he's busy hanging out with his mates, he's just busy hanging out with his mates, by the sounds of it.
That's really, I was telling, I was probably maybe looking into it a bit more, thinking it was a bit more serious, but when you say it like that, maybe
it's not you, it's him.
It's not me, it's you.
That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Don't be too overly concerned. Yeah. He's happy, isn't he?
He is. Yes, yeah, he is.
That's
he's
the most
a
important
happy
thing.
Little guy. You know,
that's really
more
important.
Happy when he's out kind of playing. You know, and it's funny because the first 3 years, probably 3.5 years, he didn't want to go out. You know, or when we were out, even when I bring him out for a walk around, he didn't want to. He just wanted to be inside. And then, you know, in the last year or two, it's just changed so much. But as you say, maybe it is to do with...
Well, I think school does that for some children, you know, and so the experience of being in big school and the sudden realisation, I mean, there's some children who are absolutely extroverts, there are some children who are really introverted, and so extroverts just love being with people. And so, you know, a bit like Ryan was saying, I mean, there's nothing wrong with your house, it's just that, you know, if he can expand his horizons beyond that, he's delighted to, and he really gets a bit of a kick or a bit of a buzz, it sounds like, from being with other children and other people, and that's a great trait to have.
That's good, okay.
You know, and so just keep your doors open and make sure that, you know, you do balance it occasionally with getting him and his mates into your house, and then you'll feel like, you know, you can still be part of what's going on in his life.
Okay. All right, Tara, good luck with all of the above.
Thank you very much.
Lovely
Thank
talking
you, David.
To you. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
9 minutes to 11. We've got to leave it there. David Coleman.
That's all right.
Pleasure as always. Talk to you next time.
Indeed.